Morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning service for this first Sunday of Christmas. And as we look into God's Word here, we look at the reading of the psalm for today. It's the 148th psalm. And as we see here that it's near the conclusion of the book of Psalms, because, of course, the book of Psalms has 150 psalms. And if you look at the last five or so psalms, the words that we hear most often in this psalm are the words of praise. Praise ye the Lord, as it starts out. And we see those words all through the last few psalms. It's like the psalms were finishing with a crescendo, joyful noise unto the Lord, as it were, to praise him for his works. And as we come to the close of this year, we might not say that the year is closing or has been in need of a closing with a crescendo in one way. But when we look to the Word of God, we can see that the things that God gives us are meant for the trying times. The faith that we have, the joy, the love, the hope and the peace that he extends to us are meant for times when maybe we don't feel like finishing with a crescendo, but times when the word and the promises of God are sure and steadfast in and give us hope and give us the faith that we can indeed finish with a crescendo. So as we listen to the words of this 148th psalm and of the text that we have today, we can keep those things in mind. So the 148th psalm then. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory above the earth, his glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. And now let's turn to God in a word of prayer. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, we look into your word for your guidance, for your assurance, and for your reassurance that we indeed are in your care and in your keeping, that we indeed are your children, and in the promises that we find in your word, in the way that you have brought them to us and bring them to us, we find assurance, we find hope, and we find faith. We ask that you would show us again these things this morning, that the eternal themes that resonate in not only the accounts of Christmas, but in the accounts of how the world was formed and how the world is to be now or is now and how it is to be, that we would see these things that as you do, that we would see them and be able to see them from a timeless perspective, from an eternal perspective, so that we would not be too overcome by individual events or things that trouble us in our lives from day to day, that we would be able to look past those and find the heart, find the hope, and find the faith to be able to praise you indeed, as the psalmist has reminded us, that everything turns to you in praise and should turn to you in praise, in recognition of and honor and glory of your creation and of your gift to us of your Son and all that that means. We ask this morning as we pause, as we take time out of our days to consider your word, to look to you, and that this would be a time of peace, a time of rest, and a time of respite from all those things that go on around us, all those things that have a tendency to distract and diminish the way that you come to us in our lives. We pray that your power, your glory, and your might would be evident to us in ways that affect and can affect each one of us in our lives and in the things that are in our hearts. We pray that you would create in us a clean heart, O God, that you would indeed be able to help us have that oneness and that singleness of purpose, that we would be able to turn to you in your love and be able to reflect your love to those around us. We ask this, and we ask this now, that you would hear us as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For our text this morning, we'll look to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and we'll consider the first 14 verses of that chapter. And actually, when I was looking at this, it's the text from the church calendar for Christmas Day. And at first, when I looked at it, I thought, this isn't really much of a Christmas sermon. It doesn't really have any of the events, per se, that some of the other Gospels do, Matthew and Luke in particular. but then when I got to looking at it, and when I got to looking at this one verse that is, again, is kind of prominent here for me, is this the 14th verse. But we'll start with the first verse, and then as we look to these writings of John, we'll see that it is the Christmas story. It is more than the Christmas story, really. But the words then are as follows, in Jesus' name, from the Gospel of John, starting with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And in here, in this scripture, these familiar words from the Gospel of John, we see the full reach of God's plan, the full intention of what God had purposed from before the creation of the world. And when we look at this, these first few words, John takes us right back before time was, before the world was created. And he gives us a glimpse into the state of, we might say, of things at that point. When he says, in the beginning was the Word. So he takes us back again to these same or similar words that are found as the opening words to the Bible in Genesis. And it's that points us to the time, like we said, before the world was created. And that it gives us an understanding, and it gives us the scope of things really that go beyond merely what we're looking at as individual or the events that happened in a specific time. Now, the events of Christmas, of course, are have much more import and much more meaning in one way than at other points in time. Along the way that the world has unfolded, the way that things have gone. But in all, this account of John's gives us that kind of scope, gives us that kind of reach in the way that he's bringing this into our understanding and into our focus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, in those two verses, in those few words, there is a powerful statement of how God's intent and how God was intending to be bringing the Word into our lives, bringing the Word into the full power and authority that He has vested in the being of Christ and in his way that he has come to us. And it goes on to say here that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So through Christ, again, all of these things were accomplished. The world that we see, the universe that is, all of the wonders and things that are contained in God's creation or in creation, we see that the attribution of that power of that creation was through Christ. It says that with and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. We see also the unity, if you will, of the Godhead here. We have some description of the fact that not only was the Word or was Jesus with God, but the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, it says. So it gives us that sense of completeness, the sense of completion, the sense of unity, and that all things were together and all things were made together. And so when we look at this particular event that we call Christmas, when we look at the particular event that we are celebrating and have celebrated, that the birth of the Savior, that we look at this as being part of God's overall plan. And God's overall plan was intended, as this scripture and other scripture gives us indication, that was intended before the world was created. We see that the incarnation of Christ, the Word being made flesh, that was what God had in his plan right from the beginning. And all of those things came together, and that this particular moment in history when Jesus was born of Mary, all those many years ago, all of those things came together, and that was the moment when, as we looked at just a couple of days ago, that the angels announced his birth. They announced that the glory was to God in the highest, and that peace and goodwill were to come to human beings on earth. And we can see then that what we're talking about and what we believe and how our life as children of God comes to be is that all of those things are part of God's plan. All of those things are things that they don't just stop at a moment in time. They are things that inform help us to come to an understanding of the things that go on in our lives day to day, the things that transpire not only in our lives, but in the world around us, that God has those things and has knowledge of those things, of course, and his overview of the world is that the things that he has given us, the things that he has created for us are given to us that we might live our life, that we might have our existence here with the end result that we would be able to enjoy eternal life with him in eternity. Those are the things that these promises come to. Those are the things that we look to help us come to our life and through our life from in day to day. And it gives us that this scripture, this account of Christmas, if we're going to call it that, or of the meaning of Christmas really is what it is, not just Christmas. But this account of the meaning of Christmas in our life gives us, this is what comes through in this text. Because it says here again in the fourth verse that it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So what we're talking about now is not, again, just our natural life, our existence from when we're born until when we die, when we go from this particular phase of existence, if we wanted to call it that, but it's eternal life we're talking about. It's eternal life that he's giving us here, that he's showing us, that he's enabling us to have here. And we can see that John makes another reference in his in the 10th chapter of this gospel, when Jesus is giving a parable of the good shepherd, and he said that the good shepherd was come, and he says, I am come in the 10th chapter and 10th verse, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that's us he's talking about. That's who he's referring to as being having life and having it more abundantly. It's not just a mere blip of an existence here that's the as we know is referred to as a vapor that comes in the morning and as soon as the sun goes or comes up with any power, it is gone. It's not just that particular phase of our existence, but it's eternal life. It's that we are in hope of, we have our faith in the fact that, as we looked at during the Advent season, that Christ will return, that we will be with him, and we will know him as, like it says, as God knows us, that we will be able to have that kind of existence, have that kind of eternal life. That's really the scope and the reach of what John is talking about here. And when we look at this, he says that the life, now we have another kind of comparison that we look at here, because he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is what we see from that is what we can see. And the light shineth in darkness, it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. Christ came into this world. Christ came into our lives, has come into our lives. But in the world around us, we can see that the darkness that it shone into and the darkness that it shines into, there are aspects of that where it's just like it says here, the darkness comprehended it not. And so, and then he gives record of the life of John the Baptist, not the writer of the gospel, but what John the Baptist, what he came and what he was sent to to do. He was sent to bear witness of the light. And as it goes on later in this, in his Gospel of John, to give some account of that in this next chapter or two. But he says that he was not that light, even though the, as it mentions, I think, in the second chapter of the Gospel here, that he was questioned by the Pharisees and by the rulers of the time as to who he was. And he said he wasn't the light, but he came to bear, as it mentions here, he was sent to bear witness of the light. And the true light, and he was the true light. Again, the Christ is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We have, again, this description of how it is that the truly the life that we have is enabled by Christ, and that when we are as human beings, we have this this promise, this way of looking at things, this way of how we see and how we live our lives, that isn't only rooted in our existence here. It isn't only based on our momentary transitory rather existence here, where we are born and we live and then we die. It's not just based on that. The reach goes much further than that. And it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Again, referring to the life of Christ when he was here on this earth. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now here is the central part of what the message of God and of Christianity is to this world, is that when we believe on him, then we have this power. And the word that's used here, the Greek word exousia, it has the connotation of the being given authority, being given permission, being of having the ability to be the sons of God. And that's all based on our faith. That's all based on the faith that we have, not on, as we say, works, not on the things that we might be seen to be doing, or seems like more significantly sometimes that seen not to be doing. Not on those things. It's based on our faith, based on the belief that we have, and that in the Christ coming to earth and coming to us in the way that he did, he gives us that authority. He enables us then to be able to believe on him. And again, he goes on to tell us a bit more about how these things work overall. He's saying, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has created all of these things. He has created us. And he's given us this existence, given us, us this world, and the way that things are in this world. And in that, he has given us Christ, the hope of our eternal life, our salvation. We have all of those terms that we use, and all of the things that we use to describe it. And even with the multitude of ways that we have here, even in this these few short verses, it's again something that we often find out, or find that we end up being trying to describe the indescribable. But it's not that it's that we can't. We only have to describe God in a few ways. God and his plan for us is beyond description. But that gives us that significant reach and the scope that John is uncovering here for us in this gospel, that it goes beyond what we need to describe or have or are able to describe in many ways, but we still have that. It comes back to that same central thing. God has given us this power, as it says here, to become his sons, to become his children. And now we get to the 14th verse, this verse that really describes the Christmas story in the Gospel of John, because we don't have all the details, like I mentioned. We don't have all the description in the accounts of how things were before, in the individual lives of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias, all of those people who we have other accounts of how things were. We don't have all of that, but we have the essence of what this was, the essence of how this came to be. It says that, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word now, this is where John again expands the horizons for us, because he says the Word was made flesh. But if we go back to the first verse, we can see that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And now the Word is made flesh. So it's again a description of that, of the Godhead, a description of what we call the Trinity. It gives us some kind of a glimpse into how that that comes together and how that works in our lives, how we see that and how we interact with that. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We see here that when we celebrate Christmas, and necessarily and rightfully so, we look at the birth of Christ. We look at Jesus of Nazareth as an infant, as being born in a stable, or being laid in a manger, at least, in Bethlehem. And we focus on that, and we look at that as the event that it was. But one of the things that we are cautioned about here, and one of the things that we can see in this full scope of how Jesus came and how he is to us now, is that we don't want to leave him. We can't leave him as a baby in the manger. In that state, we're not really asked to do anything. We're not. It doesn't really interact with our lives if we only think of Jesus as being the baby in the manger. That's not what John's gospel points to here. That's not necessarily what the only thing. It focuses on that. That's what it comes down to here when he says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And we can see that he's pointing to the fact that Jesus came to earth, and he gave up his power and authority and became a human being, willingly so, lovingly so, and at the his own in his own way and in his own will, if you will, he came in that sense to live here, to experience all the things that human beings experience, and yet without sin, it says. We have this Savior. We have this grown-up, full-grown manifestation of the Word of God that came to earth, and that continues to come to us in our lives when we believe on him. We know the scripture that says that when Jesus was asked, how are we to inherit eternal life? He said, believe, or what were the works, sorry, that we would be doing here? And he said, believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on Christ. That's the central part of our faith. That's the thing that we are every day we look to, and we are on a daily basis looking to how that works in our life. But we know that given this the scope and reach that John has exposed us to here in this first chapter, in these few verses of this first chapter, we see that the God's plan and God's intent for us goes far beyond what we might have in our view here, but and what we sometimes get mired in, it seems. We get stuck in the rut of only being able to see what's going on around us. And especially in times and days like this, when there's so much confusion and so much conflict that seems to push in on us and the world around us, we can look to these things and we can take the long view. In fact, we are compelled to take the long view. And that's what John is showing us here. It's not just about Jesus in the manger. It's not just about the celebration of what Christmas is, although Christmas, that event is significant. The angels announced his birth. The angels appeared to the shepherds in a blaze of glory, in the glory of the Lord, it says, shone around about them. And that's what we see here again, this mention of this word glory. It says, because when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And then there's this parenthetical expression in there that says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And again, this is another manifestation of the way that Jesus is described as being here on earth, the way that God's glory is described here, the way that the glory comes to us and the way that we see his glory. All of those things, again, it kind of comes back to the fact that we find ourselves trying to describe the indescribable, that words are only words when it comes to trying to give an understanding or some kind of dimensions to how God's relationship is with us, how God himself is, and how Jesus, when he came to earth, how things were. It gives us this framework, but it also invites us to look beyond the things that are front and center in our lives from day to day, the things that concern us, the things that confront us, and sometimes it's the things that console us. That's really what we're looking for, is that consolation of faith. Those are the things, that's what we're looking for here. That's why we look to God's Word, and that's why we can see in God's Word the theme that runs from before time was, before the world was created, in the beginning, as John says here, and in the beginning, as the writer of the book of Genesis intones as well, is that those are the things that give us that reach, that scope, the full view of what God's plan is for us. And so when John gives us this rather truncated version, or at least compressed version, of the events of the first Christmas, first we look at it and we say, well, he didn't write very many verses about it. But when we look at it, we can see that the essence is contained in very few words, but the scope beggars our description. It's beyond our description. And that way of looking at it gives us the confidence and the hope and the trust in what God has worked for us, what God has created for us, and what God and what through Christ has been created for us. And the essence of that is, as we saw in the 12th verse here, but as many as received him, as we receive him, we are given power to become the sons of God, to become heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And how do we do that? How is that accomplished? Or how is that, does that take place? It's even to them, it says, that believe on his name. And we see that that's the message of the Bible. That's the message of Christmas. That's where, when we look at all of these events, we can and do take significant meaning and import for our lives, and of how our faith is to be, of how our walk is to be with God. And that's why we can use words like joy and peace and hope and faith. All of those things that we hear and we see in many, many different forms, especially around Christmas, and especially around the times of when we're celebrating the significant events of the time. But that's how we can use them, with meaning, with import. They're not just empty words. They're not just slogans. They're not just things that we see on plaques and in placards or whatever it is. Those have real meaning and real impact on our lives. And that's really what John is talking about here. Those are the kinds of things that comes to us when he says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's what it comes down to here. That's what he's telling us about, and that's what we can take from this in this time. And as we look to the new year, those are the things that we can take hope from, and really, in some respects, that is what fully and finally gives us hope. That is what fully and finally gives us faith and our belief in the works and in the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.